the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel as they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our drama, which comes to you today, transcribed from Hollywood, is Face to Face with Gabriel, written by Mark Siegel. Our story is based on a magazine article, the same name, written by Rabbi Morris Kurtzer, which appeared in Guidepost Magazine. Our star is Edward G. Robinson.
According to the legend, God's messenger, the angel Gabriel, resides in heaven, standing at the left hand of the throne, ready at its moment's notice to descend to earth. Yet there are many, perhaps you are among them, who believe that Gabriel resides also in each man's heart, waiting to be summoned to execute God's will on earth. This is the story of Rabbi George Lieberman, who met a Gabriel who walked on earth among men, and from that meeting learned that Gabriel resides also in men's hearts. The story begins one weekday evening in February 1947 in Canton, Ohio.
We face common problems.
Rabbi Lieberman was concluding some carefully prepared remarks to a special meeting in the McKinley Avenue.
That is our task, the task of all men of goodwill, to work together, to build respect and understanding between faiths, to strive unceasingly for the brotherhood of all mankind.
Congratulations, George. It was a wonderful speech.
You're my wife. You have to say so.
I thought a wife was supposed to be a man's severest critic.
Well, you're the exception that proves the rule, Sylvia.
No, George, I'm serious. It was a good speech. Dynamic, direct.
No, I wasn't satisfied with it. Not at all.
George, you're a perfectionist.
No, it's that I feel strongly, very strongly on this whole matter, Sylvia.
But you made that clear, and so eloquently.
Only in generalities, Sylvia. Generalities. A very intellectual approach.
Now you're reproaching yourself for having a good mind.
No, no, Sylvia, it isn't that. It's that I should have been more specific. People understand specifics.
They understood you, George.
Well, maybe it's not enough to understand. People have to feel. Yes, that's it. I must make a note. More specifics.
If it's specifics you're after, George.
Yes.
Let me be specific. It's 9:30 now, and our train leaves for New York at 9:59. George, do you ever wonder where they were all going?
Hmm? What's that?
Darling, please stop working for a while.
No, I'm sorry, Sylvia. Just that I wanted to complete the speech outline.
You can do it tomorrow, can't you?
Agreed. There. I put them away. Pencil, a book, a pad.
You're the most accommodating man I ever met.
Accommodating, but maybe a little abstract. Now, what were you saying?
Oh, I was just wondering.
What?
Where they're all going.
Who, Sylvia?
All the people. Look, that old woman.
Mm-hmm.
She must be 90 if she's a day.
Well, she's on her way to visit her grandchildren.
Good. And those children down the aisle?
Oh, well, they're on their way to visit their grandmother.
All right, I deserved it. It's just that...
What, Sylvia?
It's just that there's something about all these people coming together. Just for a little while. All going in the same direction, but each headed for something different.
My dear, you're very philosophical tonight.
I'm sorry. Trains just do this to me.
No, it's all right, Sylvia. I understand.
You do?
What you're saying, really, is that a train is like life.
I didn't say that.
Yes, but it is. You're right. A train is like life, and we're all in it together, headed somewhere. And only the conductor above knows our destination.
Make your berth, sir?
Oh, yes, porter. I'm ready for it, too. How about you, Mrs. Lieberman?
I'm half asleep already. Well, that berth certainly comes down fast. Now, how are you ever going to get up there, George?
Well, on the ladder, naturally.
Here it is, sir.
No, thank you, porter. Well, good night, Sylvia. Sleep well.
Thank you, dear. You too. Now, be careful, George. That upper berth's pretty close quarters.
I've been in them before.
Of course you have. But you were younger.
Now, Sylvia.
All right. I won't say another word.
Careful, sir.
Ouch!
There, you've done it. You bumped your head.
Oh, my apologies. Good night. After all, a rabbi should climb the ladder to heaven more gracefully.
And with more physical agility.
Physical agility? Well, I guess it's more important for a rabbi to have agility of the spirit.
The words have been spoken like so many words, happen just, happen seriousness. Physical agility. I guess it's more important for a rabbi to have agility of the spirit. The train strokes along the countryside, moving forward in space and in time. And only the conductor above knows what lies ahead. Southward from Lake Erie, through the rolling lands of eastern Ohio, across the Pennsylvania border and into the foothills of the Alleghenies. At Pittsburgh, there's a brief stop, and George Lieberman stirs restlessly in his sleep.
More specifics.
More specifics. The specifics lie ahead for George Lieberman. The specifics of experience, of pain, of revelation, and of brotherhood. Greensburg. Johnstown. It is almost 2:30 in the morning. The crack express, the Red Arrow, is hurtling through the night, proud, competent, sleek, assured. The semaphores drop, the towermen at wayside stations waver through. The train is approaching Altoona. Suddenly, somewhere, something gives. It is 2:30 in the morning near Altoona. The crack express, the Red Arrow, lies derailed like a toy train telescoped from end to end. The Pullman car in which George Lieberman and his wife have been sleeping lies on its side in a deep ravine. And the upper berth, which opens so easily, is snapped shut, leaving Rabbi George Lieberman hanging head down into the aisle, his legs inside the jammed compartment. Slowly the rabbi returns to consciousness.
Sylvia. Sylvia, where are you?
Someone light a match. Who has a match?
No, no, for heaven's sake, don't light any matches.
What's that?
No matches. The car is full of pillow feathers. I can feel them.
Well, we can't see anything.
Still, no matches. We'll be burned alive.
Oh, you're right. Don't strike any matches. Where are you?
Here.
Good Lord, you're hanging upside down.
Here.
There's a little net hammock here. Let's get your head into it.
My wife. Where's my wife?
If she can hear me, I'll find her. What's your name?
Lieberman. Rabbi Lieberman.
Rabbi Lieberman?
Yes. Please find my wife.
Mrs. Lieberman. Where is Mrs. Lieberman? Mrs. Lieberman, if you can hear me, come now. Later may be too late.
Sylvia Lieberman had been hurled to the other end of the Pullman, alive but stunned beyond response. In the sealed sleeping car, men and women and children lay in the darkness, waiting for the rescue squads to come. And the word went from mouth to mouth that a man of God was in the sleeping car.
Rabbi, I'm dying.
Well, don't give up. Help will come.
But I know it. Please, there's no minister among us. Will you help me make my peace with God?
Of course, my daughter, of course.
Rabbi Lieberman.
Yes, miss.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
They want you to lead them in prayer. Can you do it?
Yes. Of course I can do it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul.
Rabbi, are you all right?
He's blacked out. I'm sorry. Sorry for the pain. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Father?
Don't call me father, child. I'm a rabbi.
But we call our priest father.
All right, then. Father.
Father, how will we get out of the train?
They will come to get us out, child. Very soon.
Father, I've been praying for you.
You have? Thank you. Thank you, child.
I've been praying to God to send an angel. He'll send one, won't he?
Yes, yes, dear.
Will I be able to see him?
The angel?
Yes, Father.
I guess so. Perhaps you will.
They're here. The rescue crew is here.
Father?
Yes, child?
Father, I think my prayer has been answered.
Slowly, the work of removing the dead and injured got underway. It took 6 hours for the salvage crew to reach the rabbi's berth. Ambulance doctors took one look and held a hurried consultation.
His spine is badly injured.
And the legs.
What do you think?
I don't see how they'll get him out. Not without
amputation.
I'm afraid so.
Doctor.
What is it?
Please, I heard what you said. Don't do it.
Look, I'm a doctor. You're a track hand. Let's stick to our job, shall we?
Just give me a chance to get him out, will you?
The other workmen have tried.
Yeah, but let me try again.
What makes you think you can pry that berth open? The others couldn't.
Just let me try. Look, I couldn't forgive myself if I didn't try.
Well, all right. But try to be careful. He's in real pain.
I know. I can almost feel it myself.
For almost half an hour, the workmen tried to jimmy the locked berth open. The strain of effort and of tension stood out on the face of George Lieberman's would-be rescuer.
I'm sorry, honest, I'm sorry.
Oh, forgive me.
That's a good one. Forgive you. You're the bravest man I ever saw.
George Lieberman saw the beads of perspiration form on the forehead of his rescuer. And the rabbi, even in that moment, tried to distract the workman from the job at hand.
Oh, my friend.
Yeah?
My friend, what is your name?
Why do you want to know?
Well, it would be better for you to think of other things.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Well, what is your name?
My name is Gabriel.
Gabriel?
I'm glad you're smiling, mister. What's so funny?
Gabriel. From down here or from up above?
They took him to Mercy Hospital in Altoona more dead than alive. For the first few agonizing weeks, the nursing sisters hovered over him, bringing to their task not only their skill and knowledge, but the love and affection of genuine concern.
Easy, Rabbi Lieberman.
Mm-hmm.
There. Well, how does it feel to be sitting up?
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. It's a big day for me.
For all of us.
A nurse.
Yes, Rabbi.
I haven't been able to up to now, but I want to thank you. I want to thank you and all the other sisters for being so... We are so solicitous.
Solicitous? Rabbi Lieberman, all of us... Do you know what we say?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
We say, surely the good Lord has placed a special challenge in our hands. How often do we have the chance in this hospital to keep a rabbi alive? We have a surprise for you today, Rabbi Lieberman.
A surprise, nurse?
You can come in now, but only for a few minutes.
Sylvia.
George, it's good to see you.
How are you feeling?
I'm fine, but you...
Oh, never better.
May you be forgiven for lying.
I mean it. They've taken wonderful care of me here.
I can see that.
Sylvia, I don't want to talk about myself. Now tell me. Tell me about the world outside.
Everyone's been wonderful. Everyone's waiting for you to get better.
And the temple. What about the temple? Have they found a replacement for me yet?
I should say not.
But that's not good. A congregation needs a rabbi.
They say they'll get along.
Yes, but they've got to have a rabbi.
They say they'll get along until their rabbi gets back. George, you will get back, you'll see. Have you seen your mail?
Mail?
Well, there are hundreds of letters.
From the congregation?
From just about everyone in Canton.
Well, that's nice. That's very nice.
And the gift dozens. I've been writing thank you cards day and night.
Well, you make sure you get all the names, Sylvia, and then see to it that the gifts are distributed.
Distributed?
Yes, to the other patients in the hospital.
Well, of course, dear. That's very thoughtful of you.
Thoughtful? The least I can do. Sylvia.
Yes, George.
You know what I've been thinking?
No, I can't say I do.
I've been thinking that in this world, there's brotherhood almost everywhere, if you look for it. Even a brotherhood of pain.
The weeks stretched into months, and the months into years. And Rabbi George Lieberman, now in a hospital in Canton, discovered that in the brotherhood of pain, there was room, ample room, for a rabbi who could bring solace and hope to others, even within the confines of a single hospital.
I don't know how to thank you, Rabbi. It's so good to have you here. You're like an angel, a ministering angel.
Angel? Wait a minute. You've reminded me of something. Something I can't let go any longer. There's a man I want to see. A man named Gabriel.
In Mercy Hospital in Altoona, Rabbi Lieberman had tried in vain to locate his rescuer. Now, from his wheelchair in the Canton Hospital, he intensified his search.
No? No, I don't know his last name.
But, Rabbi, it's impossible. There must be 1,000 men by the name of Gabriel who've worked for the railroad.
Yes, but only one like this man, sir.
Well, we'll do our best, Rabbi.
Well, that's all I'm asking.
But I must say, the whole matter's a bit extraordinary. I should say, very extraordinary.
Extraordinary? So is this man named Gabriel.
They asked in the railroad yards and in the roundhouses. They checked the rosters and the pay lists. They inquired at freight stations and in terminals. And one day...
They found him, George.
Gabriel?
Gabriel. He's in Cleveland.
Wonderful.
I'm afraid you won't be able to see him.
Why not? We can afford to send him a ticket.
No, that's not the problem.
Well, then what is?
He's in a hospital.
Gabriel is in a hospital, too?
And critically ill.
Ill?
Well, then I will go to him.
That's ridiculous, George. You know you can't.
Well, why can't I? I'm able to walk now, after a fashion.
But to Cleveland, George, in that brace on crutches.
Yes, Sylvia, whatever way. But for this Gabriel, I could not walk at all. Gabriel?
Yeah. Who's that?
My name is Rabbi Lieberman. I'm the man...
Oh, wait a minute. That voice, I know it.
You do?
Yeah, you're the man. You're the one in the berth.
That's right.
Yeah. You can walk.
Thanks to you, Gabriel.
No. I'm glad.
You'll be up and around soon, too, Gabriel.
No, not this time. This is it.
If you have the faith, and God wills it, you will.
That's not what I've been thinking, Rabbi. That is not until you came. Why did you come?
To repay a debt.
I only did what anybody would have.
I owe you my life, Gabriel. And more.
More?
Much more. Through you, I've learned that all men, all, deep down, share a concern for each other.
From me? You learned that from me?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you know that before?
Only in generalities, Gabriel. From you, I've learned it in specifics.
On the 6th of January, 1950, the auditorium of the McKinley Avenue Temple in Canton was filled to overflowing. Men and women of all faiths watched, thanksgiving in their hearts, as Rabbi Lieberman moved slowly down the aisle, each step filled with pain, to ascend the pulpit for the first time in 35 months. A steel brace supported his back, another gave strength to his legs as he inched his way to the center of the pulpit and eased himself into a specially constructed device which made him appear to be standing, although he was sitting down.
My friends, it is good to be home again.
Oh, yes.
I've learned a good deal since last I stood in this pulpit. I've learned to value simple
things. This was his homecoming. And if his wife, Mrs. Sylvia Lieberman, could not quite hold back the tears, can one blame her?
Simple acts of sitting up and walking. In the past 3 years, I've thought of many things, but most of all, of what comprises the secret of happiness. Happiness is to be found in self-acceptance. To accept oneself for what one is. To accept oneself with ambition unrealized, success unattained, opportunities muffed, regrets unhealed. To accept oneself when one is unaccepted and unacceptable. By making peace with oneself, with the universe, and with God. To accept oneself and thus be capable of accepting all other men. This is indeed one of life's most precious possessions.
It is a story of heroism and courage, Rabbi Lieberman's story, which ends happily with his full recovery. But being the kind of man he is, perhaps he would not have let us tell it. Except that he is one of many, perhaps you are among them, who believe that Gabriel resides not only in heaven, but also in each man's heart, waiting only to be summoned to execute God's will on earth.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Julius Fliegelman, member of the Board of Overseers of the University of Judaism in Los Angeles.
It seems to me that the meaning of the drama we have just heard expounded so movingly is especially pertinent at this particular moment in the troubled history of mankind. Many of us have the feeling that if only the hearts and the minds of men could express themselves, the air we breathe would contain a great deal less of cynicism, frustration, and despair. It may very well be true that it is not given to most of us to rise to an occasion involving physical suffering and moral questioning in the manner that Rabbi Lieberman rose to it. It is, however, true that the qualities of such a spiritual leader can be an inspiration to us all. We may take his example as a criterion of nobility and hope and derive moral and spiritual sustenance upon which we may ourselves draw when we come face to face with the inevitable nadirs and crises in our own lives. The age in which we live may well be known as an age of anxiety. For the first time, man is now able to destroy himself and his fellows to a degree hitherto only dreamt of by the legendary gods of destruction. And yet, is it not also true that this darkening night of our era contains a world of Gabriels who are unselfishly helping their brothers in a time of stress and peril? There is a Jewish legendary belief that the world is sustained not by the kings and other men of power, but by the efforts of 36 simple, anonymous people who, by their day-to-day concern for their fellow man, provide the world with the moral quality without which it would perish. These are our Gabriels, the Gabriels of our story. Gabriels who, in the words of the narrator, reside not in heaven, but also in each man's heart, waiting only to be summoned to execute God's will on earth.
Thank you, Mr. Fleibelman. Our eternal light drama, Face to Face with Gabriel, was written by Mark Siegel and based on an article by Rabbi Morris Kurtzer for Guidepost Magazine. Cantor David Potterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured was Edward G. Robinson as Rabbi Lieberman. The music was written by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Robert Armbruster. This has been an NBC Radio Network production, transcribed and directed by Andrew C. Love, and came to you today from Hollywood. Free time to present the eternal light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.
This is the NBC Radio Network.